Looking to improve your life, brush up on your personal growth techniques? You are in the right place. Welcome to Life's Little Lessons with your host, author of Designing Your Own Destiny, Kevin A. Dunlap.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Kevin Dunlap with Life's Little Lessons, and welcome back to our show. Today, I met a lady about a month ago. Her name is Judy Morio, and this is a lady I met at a speaking event at the National Speakers Association, and she's actually been involved with them for quite a few years. She is also an author, a trainer. She has her own show, and she does a lot of other things. Can't wait to find out more about what she does. I know she's a business coach, and she's actually in two countries as well. So this is another lady that has multiple businesses in multiple countries. So I'd like to go ahead and welcome Judy to the show. Judy, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is really a pleasure.
Well, same here. I mean, meeting somebody that has so many accolades and so much stuff that I know I can learn from, and I'm so glad that you're going to humble our little show with your presence. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's my honor. Yes, it is.
Well, Judy, could you tell the listeners and even myself a little bit more about yourself? Who are you, and what is it that you do, and why is it that you do it?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur, and I have been one since 1970. So Wow. We go back to even before you were born, huh?
I was three.
Oh, you were three at that time. Okay. Well, that's when I opened my first business in 1970. And since then, I've sold two businesses. I've started and built and then sold those businesses. And at the present time, I'm the president of Turning Point International, which is a training and development company. And we have offices here in Las Vegas and also in Johannesburg, South Africa.
So what did you do, Johannesburg? Oh,
well, I was actually living in Johannesburg when I started Turning Point International. My business partner, Fiona Carmichael, and myself started this business while I was living over there. I had gone to South Africa as a speaker originally and then had been brought back to work with some newspapers, and I ended up being a group promotions manager for 24 newspapers, two radio stations, and a television station in South Africa. And did that for a couple of years, and then my business partners from Zimbabwe, which used to be Rhodesia. She was a refugee from there. And we met, and she was a big-time executive in South Africa now. And so we said, well, let's start our own company. And we sat down, and actually we have quite a story about how we started that company, because we went to Sun City, South Africa. It was the opening of the Palace at the Lost City that weekend, and we went there, and we talked them into renting us a room, even though they said they were overly booked. And we got a room very high up. We got a suite very, very high up overlooking the Elephant Walk, and we took on all our cardboard boxes full of magazines and our big old books, and we sat down with champagne on the floor in that hotel, and we cut out all the pictures of everything we wanted to do the next year. We cut out pictures of all the countries we wanted to go and train in, and all of the different things we wanted to do, and all of the money we wanted to make, and we pasted it in our book. Then one of our goals had been to stay at the Palace at the Lost City on sometime during the year, and so we told them that if we could do it on our opening New Year's Eve, that would be one of our goals. All of our other goals would happen too, and sure enough, we filled up our books with all of our goals, and within 7 months, we had achieved all of those and were moving forward. And it wasn't until a couple years later that we actually moved our offices, our main office, back to Las Vegas, where I'm from.
Okay, so you were doing vision boards way before they were mainstream, obviously.
Way before we even knew about vision boards, yeah. When I was 16 years old, my dad taught me to do that. My father was an admirer of Maxwell Maltz, who was wrote Psycho-Cybernetics. Maxwell Maltz was an old-timey motivator, as well as Napoleon Hill and Andrew Carnegie. And my father was a follower of those people. And so when he used to punish us, what he would do is lock us in a room with positive mental attitude books, and we'd have to read. And so we were pasting pictures from the time we were about 15, 16 years old, and I still do it. Every New Year's Eve, I have my...
Well, that's awesome that you do something like that. I know when Oprah was still very, we had her show stuff going on, she had a website, and you could make a digital dream boards. And actually, I'm in the process now of looking at different websites where you can make collages, which is basically
a dream board. Yes, it is. I they work, you know, because when you get clear on what you want, you have a picture of it, and you look at it regularly, it keeps you focused on your goal and on your dream and going forward.
Okay, and that's and I agree with that. I mean, one of the things, if you're doing it, like you say, doing it by cutting pictures out of a magazine, or you're going to Google Images and you're doing it electronically.
Yes, yeah.
You could have it sitting on your desk, like in a picture frame, or on the wall, or as your background picture on your screen. So that every time you
exactly
your computer, there it is.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I think you just inspired me to go and do something like that this afternoon.
I actually created a place for you to put the pictures of your goals in your 8 different areas of your life, like career and community. And I have a book that I have just get it every day, and then every single day you write down the one thing that you did that day towards your goal. And if you do 365 things this year towards your goal, don't you think you'll achieve it? Of course you will. Yeah.
There's a gentleman out there called Darren Hardy, has a book called The Compound Effect.
And yes, he does. I love that book. I think it's one of the best books out there.
Yeah, because he talks about you just doing one thing every day, and over time, you're going to get it, no matter how small that one thing is.
Exactly. As long as you stay focused, and as long as you do something, take action. That's the big thing. We hear people talk all the time about their dreams and their goals, but they don't take the action, and the action is what gets us there.
Absolutely. And so tell us about your business. What is it that you do with the people here in Las Vegas or down in Johannesburg, South Africa?
Well, we teach leadership skills, customer service, communication skills, predominantly all of the soft skills of business. We teach people even things like negotiation, how to deal with difficult people, how to deal with negativity in the workplace. So one of the things that we specialize in is casino customer service. We do a lot of work in the casino market, both here in Las Vegas and in the South African casino market. But we also do a lot of riverboat casinos and a lot of casinos that have opened like in the Indian tribes. You know, there's a lot of those all across the United States. I didn't know we had so many Indian tribes until I started working with Indian casinos, but we have bunches of them. I mean, I found Indian tribes I never even heard of before. So, we go in and we actually do, usually we do a project of a year to 2 years with the different casinos where we go in and we try to do an entire culture change during that time to get everybody on the same page from top management all the way to back of the house. And understanding how the customer comes first. The organization are our customers. And so we have to be good to the people we work with as well as the people who come in and spend the money with us.
Okay. And so it sounds like you have a pretty large team. Is it just you? Is it you and a group of people? I mean, obviously you cannot be on site in both 2 different countries that are completely on the opposite sides.
Well, there's my business partner and myself, and then we have 7 trainers that work with us here, and I'm not sure exactly the number she has right now in South Africa. She's been back over there for the last few months, and we had about 5 there, but I think she may have added 1 or 2 this year.
Wow. And you've been doing that, how long have you been doing the Turning Point business?
Oh, goodness. We started Turning Point International in 1992. So we've been doing this a long time now.
Well, that's it's 2018 now. 92 is another 8 years. And that's going on 26 years.
Yes, right about 26 years we've had Turning Point. And we really love it. It's been a great business. It's evolved as we've evolved. And we also have expanded My business partnered by such groups as Cirque du Soleil to come in and train all of their entertainers who come from other countries on how to manage their money, how to stay out of debt, how to use the credit cards that they're not used to having in their own country. And we do all kinds of sexual harassment training and anything that has to do with the legal procedures of business. We have an attorney on staff who goes in and does that training for various organizations. I do predominantly the soft skills things, the communication skills, the negotiation skills, the how to deal with difficult people, the how to deal with anger, your emotional intelligence. Those are the subjects that I predominantly deal with.
So it sounds like you only deal with mid to larger size businesses then.
Pretty much. We do a few smaller businesses. Like even here in Las Vegas, we've worked with Desert Motorsports, which is it's a pretty big organization, franchisor. I do work with them. They used to have us come in like once a week for 7 or 8 months at a time. We would come in and do programs for them before they opened in the mornings once a week. And it's a smaller company for us, but we enjoy that. You know, they only have about 25 or 30 employees versus some of the companies we work with that have 950 employees.
Well, and they're looking for a casino. If you're talking about the whole casino, I mean, you've got more than just your pit bosses and your people on the floor. I mean, you've got all your weights, your wait staff. You've got your housekeeping. You've got, hundreds.
We've designed individual programs for each of those departments because their customer is different. And how they serve their customer is different. How you serve a customer in a restaurant is totally different than how you clean up a customer's room versus how you treat the big gambler on the table. So, when we're working with that entire staff, we're going through a lot of different jobs, a lot of different cultures, and we have to be prepared to deal with those and to answer their questions to where they feel like they've been empowered to do what they need to do their jobs well.
Wow. And so what is the process if somebody was going to be hiring you? Let's say I own a company. Let's say it's a retail chain it wouldn't be a chain. Let's say it's a franchise. And let's say I have 30 or 40 people or even 50 people working for me. And let's call it retail, you know, a store of some sort.
Usually after you decide to hire us, then what we do is we come in and we do a needs analysis before we ever even start working. The people don't know us at that point, so therefore one or more of our team goes in and actually tries to conduct business with them to see how they do it and what they do. Then we make all kinds of notes on what we've experienced. We go back, we meet with the senior management team. We say, this is what we saw. Tell us what you want done. How do you want your customer to feel? How do you want your employees to feel? What problems do you see? You know, what kind of training? And then we custom design, or we take the program we have, but we design it to fit their environment. And once it fits their environment, then we start at the top. We do the senior management first, then the middle management, then the supervisory people, and then we go to front of the house and back of the house. And it's pretty involved whenever you're working with one of those types of casinos because, some of them are very, very big and there's a lot of employees. And so we might have to do, we don't take more than 30 people at a time in a class. And so therefore, if they have 900 employees and they're going to put them through 6 modules of training, you know, we're there for a year to 2 years, depending on how many people are there and how bad the issues were before we started. And we need to be there to make sure it gets go back to work for a week or so, and then they come back to training again. They tell us what they tried out. They tell us what is working and what isn't working, and then we help them if it isn't working to see what we need to do differently. And so we're actually there in that casino sometimes 10, 12 days a month for every month for that year or 2 years.
Wow, so it'd be kind of like from an observer role, and it also kind of sounded like, because when you were saying that
yes.
You send somebody in for your needs analysis, that is kind of like an undercover boss or a secret shopper.
Yes, it is. It is a secret shopper, and we do it during the training as well. And one of the other things we do that a lot of people are always fascinated with, we have the employees in this casino that we're working with, we actually send them to other casinos to look at people who are doing the same job they are doing and come back and give us a report and tell us how that compares to what they do. And it's amazing what they come back with.
So a car dealer would, let's say we're working at the MGM here in Vegas, could go to the Bellagio and just go and sit down and play poker or play 21 or something like that, just to see what that, I guess they call it croupier or croupier.
Yeah, well, that's a crap dealer's.
Okay.
Croupiers, yeah.
Okay, well, so they watch how they're doing.
That's what we do. And we send, you know, the people in the cage, we send them to another hotel to look at the cage over there and see what those people are doing. And it's amazing. If they have any kind of a bad attitude and they go and view the other people and the other people have a bad attitude, they come back and say, oh, I think I better fix my personality. Good assignment for them to do it. And we actually have them and have them tell the general manager what they have. It really is a team building exercise.
Okay, well, that's kind of good because I know in my field, if I was doing real estate or something like that, even back when I lived in North Carolina, I would call as a real estate investor, I would call my neighbor's properties and say, how much are you asking for rent there? Just so I can get an idea of what the rent's.
Yeah, of course. That's what we have to do so we know what's going on out there in the marketplace.
Absolutely. It's your basic market analysis, hands-on market analysis. So.
Yes.
Okay, and how did you get into that field? I mean, that sounds like a very specialized field, and the fact that you're working with largest to go companies, how did you get started with doing all of that?
It's very interesting that I actually started as a keynote speaker, which most speakers start out as a seminar leader or a trainer and they move into keynotes. I started as a keynote speaker and then people would hear me speak and they would say, well, where do we go to get the training for this for our people? And then I thought, well, I can put together those training programs. And so I just started writing them and telling people I was here. And now we've been doing it for 26 years. So. Okay, 26 years with this company. We were doing it before that,
Okay, so TPI was started in 1992, but you were doing, like you said, the keynotes and other trainings on your own, however you were advertising, people finding you. So you're in a conference room or a casino.
And we've been very fortunate that, when we work with, let's say, we work with one casino downtown Las Vegas, for instance, when the employees move around, because very often the senior management is hired by another casino or another hotel, and when they say, oh, we've got a problem, they say, oh, let's call Judy Morio and get her in here and talk to us about it, because we worked with her over at that place, and maybe she'd be good here. We had one general manager here that when he moved on, he took us to about 7 different riverboat casinos around the country to totally redo their customer service throughout. And it was just amazing. But every time he moved, we moved. He used to say, I'm going to bring my people from Vegas. And my little blonde partner and I, we were the people from Vegas. They were always shocked when we turned out to be these two women instead of a couple of tough guys, I think.
Because we see these people, I'm saying if he was a pit boss, he's talking about, all the dealers and all that's been 20 people.
Right. I'm bringing my people. It's always Fiona and me. We loved it. This has been an incredible journey for us, for both of us. And we've both gone through some tough health times since we've been together in business. She had cancer for a while, and then a couple years later, I had cancer. And so it's been a big challenge to be ill and then still do what we do and work as hard as we do and put the energy into the programs that we do and keep that positive mental attitude up at all times when you're not well. But now we're both healthy again and we're doing well. And she's in Africa right now and I'm here and life is good.
Now, do you get to travel a lot then because of this, or are you?
I've been to 28 countries doing training, And it's just been incredible, the different trainings that we've been allowed to do in all of these different countries. And I'm getting ready to go to Ecuador in May this year. So that'll be 29 countries. My goal in life was to see the whole world. So I'm doing a good job of that. But it's because, you know, our training programs have been so successful that people just recommend us and hire us. And we just keep going back year after year.
Now, like this thing going in Ecuador, is this a one-time thing or is this an actual gig that you're going to be going there frequently over the next few months?
This one, it's a one-time. I'll be down there for about a week and then we'll see. We'll see what happens from there. Maybe it'll be go back again and again. That's how it happens in so many places. When we first went to Cairo, Egypt, we just went up on to meet with one hotel in Cairo, and they said great. They ended up bringing us back, and we went up, and we worked with the stock exchange. We worked with all kinds of other businesses as well in Cairo, so that was exciting. We've worked with the Chamber of Commerce in Dubai. They have over 800 members in their chamber, and that's the largest chamber of commerce in the world. And and the Dubai Chamber of Commerce flew us first class on their airlines. And I want to tell you, that was unbelievable. We had each of us had a private room on the airplane with a chef that cooked for us at any time we wanted during the whole flight. I said, I could just live on this airplane. I don't need to go anywhere else now. This has been the ultimate.
Wow. And that's kind of interesting because, I mean, I don't know that many Indian people, but Indian-based or Arabic-based.
Well, Emirates Airlines is the airline that we flew in and out of Dubai. And I'm telling you, I've never had service like that airline. It is amazing. And we just both thought that was so cool that we had our own room and it had a makeup mirror and they gave us all kinds of makeup. And
okay, well, you've seen everything then.
Not everything, but that was really great. Yeah. This year I've been real fortunate. This year I went to Kenya and Tanzania, and that was a whole new culture for me. Different from going to Botswana or South Africa. The cultures were very, very different. And so it's a big advantage to have a product that you can sell in almost any market around the world and be successful with it. And so, of course, you know, when we are going to do it in a country where I haven't been, the trainers get to stay home and I get to go to the new country, the one that I want to visit yet. It's fun.
Now, do you try to get there a few days early and stay a few days longer?
I do, always, so that I can do a little sightseeing and get to know some people. And it's amazing when you're a trainer for a company like that. The people within the company very often will invite you to their home for dinner, or they'll take you to see some of the sites. And so you get to see a lot of the world that way. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, because I'm looking to also be like an international speaker and trainer myself, but I'm not in demand as of yet. One of the things that I've always been kind of curious about, what is the toll that your body takes on something like that? Because with jet lag and adjusting to the...
Oh, well, whenever I have to fly through to the other part of the world, I always allow, as your body really does get beat up by the time you go through some time zones. And so I like to have a day where I can get adjusted to the new time zone and get a lot of sleep and rest and drink a lot of water and then get up. And when I actually go to do the work, be totally refreshed and ready to work, because I have traveled through those time zones, gotten off the airplane and gone straight to work and done seminars or done television shows, just like getting off the plane. And back in years ago when the apartheid was on and we would go to South Africa, it would take from home to there, it would take like 49 to 50 hours to get there, because we had to go from here to New York to Europe and Europe to Africa. And there were no direct flights because South African Airways couldn't land in America because of the sanctions against them. And so those trips were just killer. I mean, they were killer when it took you 2 days, two full 24-hour days to get to the other side of the world. And then to get off the plane and go straight to a television show and try to look decent and be pleasant and charming. It's not easy. It's really not easy. It's a lifestyle that's very hard on people. It seems glamorous to be a public speaker and get to go around the world. But very often, where I flew from Las Vegas to Washington, D.C. to Cape Town, gotten off the plane in Cape Town, gotten in a car driven, and then gotten to Umtata, gone straight in the room, done my speech for 800 people, sat down, had dinner with 800 people, and had to talk to everybody and be pleasant, then get back in the car, drive back to the airport, get back on the plane in Cape Town, and never ever check into a room or change my clothes. I mean, that's not glamorous. That's hard.
And so I'm assuming that you never thought you did. Well, when you were first getting started doing these keynote speaking and then started doing those trainings, you had no idea where this was going to be going, did you?
I didn't. I had no idea. I had no idea that I would get to see the whole world. I mean, it was my dream. It was my thought. And every year I would cut out pictures of different countries and put them in my book. And every year it would happen. And I would go to those countries. And so, yeah, it was a dream. I didn't know if I believed it or not, but it all came true. Well, and it's still coming true.
Well, 'cause now you're about to go to your 29th country, so.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'd like to shift the focus a little bit and go into some of this, because most of the people that listen to the show are entrepreneurs, are either starting out or they're wanting to scale their businesses. Usually they're going to be on the smaller scale, you know, trying to get up to the lower mid or even to the mid-scale businesses.
Right.
I think you're the third or fourth person that I've had on my show so far that's actually sold businesses. So I've had my fourth guest on the show, he started a business he was not very familiar with. And within like 10 years, he was profitable enough and he skilled enough that he actually sold it. So
good for him, yeah.
So I always love hearing from people that have gone through that process.
Well, when I started the first business, I only had $2,000. And I didn't know that you couldn't start a business with $2,000. Nobody told me you couldn't. And so I did it. And about 3 weeks after I opened my business was the first time in history that they had a strike on the Las Vegas Strip, and they turned out every light at every hotel on the Strip. And consequently, because of that strike, a lot of people weren't going to send their kids to my finishing school or modeling agency, and a lot of hotels weren't going to hire the models and the people that worked for me to work. So here I was, you know, with $2,000 3 weeks in, and I went to my landlord and I said, we've got a problem. I don't know if I'm be able to pay the rent next month. And he said, well, honey, he said, the man next door bet me that you couldn't make it in business for 6 months, and I bet him you could. He said, can you hang in there for 6 months and we'll make enough money off the bet? And I hung in there for 21 years. So he won the bet. I got my first few months rent paid and survived.
Well, and That's funny that you said that, because you had to be creative. You had to think on your feet, and just because there was a failure or a blockage that to your success, you still stuck with it.
I did. I hung in there with it, and that's actually how my speaking started, is because I started speaking to promote my business, because I didn't have the money for television advertising at that time, and I didn't have the money for newspaper ads or magazine ads. So I call up all these groups and say, would you like, I would make up these topics that sounded like they were business topics or sounded like they would be good for the women's group or whatever, and they would say, sure, come on out, you know, because they all wanted to speak. Then I'd talk about my business, and then sure enough, some of those people would start doing business with me. It was a wonderful way to get started.
And that was pre-internet too. So had to really go like mail letters or knock on doors. Like, there was none of that other stuff, like sending an email or something.
No. I had to pick up the phone and call people up and tell them who I was and convince them to bring me to talk to their group. And I think I talked to every Rotary Club, Sir Optimus Club, Kiwanis, I mean, you name it, business groups, Chambers of Commerce. I just volunteered to talk for everybody. And Sure enough, I'd go talk and somebody would hire me to do another talk and somebody would hire me to do business with them or do training for them or send their kids to my modeling school, and it just worked.
Now, when you're calling those clubs like the Rotaries in Kiwanis, were you asking to get paid? Were you basically doing it for free and looking to make money from the actual?
Yes, I did it for free. I was looking to do it for free because service organizations aren't going to pay speakers. Some of your chambers of commerce, your bigger ones like the one in Dubai, of course, they're going to pay a speaker. They have 800 members. But most of your chambers of commerce even don't pay speakers. So I did it just to get the business, to get the opportunity to advertise my business, to say, here's who I am and this is what I do. And that word of mouth advertising is the best you can get. It's so when somebody believes in you and they sell you to somebody else, it's wonderful.
And then
it has all the advantages of television. It does. It has sight, sound, motion, emotion, and color.
Okay, and the thing is, once you start doing it, the momentum will start building and building from there. You're just getting, just getting your feet wet those first few times and just keep going.
I think I did a few hundred times before I ever got paid. One time, I remember my first paid engagement was the Tropicana Hotel in Las Vegas called me and they said, we have a spouses program. We wonder if you'd come over and speak to the spouses of this convention. And I said, yes. And they said, how much do you charge? And I'd never charged until then. So I said $50 and they said, okay. And I went and did it for $50. And after I did 100 of them, I thought, I better raise my price. Then I went to the next floor. You know, you never do it for under 300. And I thought, okay, I'll raise it to 300. And people just kept hiring me. So I kept raising it and they kept hiring me.
And that's actually probably one of the most common threads, and I'm sure you will probably agree to this as well, is when people are just getting started, they're typically undercharged what their value is.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. And I think women especially do that. Women have a tendency to underestimate themselves and overestimate everyone else. And I believe that, we've got to learn what our value is and ask for what we're worth.
And there is a, I don't know if you've heard this before. There's one of the first people that actually got me really inspired in doing what I'm doing now was a lady by the name of Lisa Sasevich.
And yes, she's wonderful. Yes.
Okay. So you know her. This is back in 2014. I was at one of her conferences. I think it was called Speak to Sell. And one of the things that she's mentioned in there, and this, you're a perfect candidate or lesson by this is, and she goes, once five people are willing to pay your prices, it is now time to raise your prices.
I did a lot more than five before I raised my prices, but it was a good learning curve for me. And even today, you know, if one of my friends calls me up and says, you know, Judy, my real estate company, I'd like to have you come in and speak to, you know, my staff, and they're my friend, you know, I'll say, oh, okay. And they'll say, we don't pay our speakers. And I'm like, I'll do it for how to sell, you see. So it makes it worthwhile for me to go, even though they are my friends.
Well, I mean, at least it'll advise you the lunch and, you know, or lunch and dinner.
The gas to get there. Yeah.
Yeah, because I can see where if you're speaking to motivate some real estate agents, you're not getting a sale from them. So.
But it's amazing how much they buy in product. Real estate people are great when it comes to product. They buy my books, they buy my tapes, they buy my CDs. You know, they're really good about that.
Okay, and so you do have CDs and things like that?
Yeah, and I've written 11 books and I have a journal. So I mean, I have a lot of product that's available to people.
Now, are your books available like on Amazon or in Barnes & Noble?
Yes, both, and many other bookstores as well. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'd like actually, I would like to go online and check some of those books out, and I will probably put it in the description of this show of how they can get a hold of you or get your books off of Amazon.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, I'd love it if they'd get them off of Amazon.
Now, are you self-published or are you published?
Both. I've been published by some big publishing houses. I've been published by Penguin. I've been published by National Press Publications. I've been published by Career. What is that one out of New York? Career. Oh, goodness.
That one, I don't know. Not Covington or something like that?
They're not going to forgive me if I can't. Yeah, no, it's, wait a minute, I'll see. I don't have their book in here with me right now. Career Press out of New York. I've been published by National Press Publications. Yeah. I've had four or five different publishers. The biggest one's been Penguin, which is great. And now I've started helping other speakers get their books written and published. I've been coaching a lot of speakers on how to write their books and how to get them published and how to promote them. Because if you're in this business, you need a book. And any time that you're an expert at something, it's a good credibility to have written a book. I mean, even look at Donald Trump, how many books he's got on the marketplace. Any time you've been really successful.
Well, because a person that I ran across a couple of weeks ago, he gave me a formula that I think is very, very important, that everybody out there should know this formula. And he said V as in Victor plus C as in cat equals P, which is like Paul. And what it is visibility plus credibility equals profitability. So you be.
Ooh, I like that.
So one of your credibility factors is going to be your book.
Yes, and everybody seems to be impressed when you've written a book. They're like, oh, you've written a book. Oh, what is it? And so this last year, I've been putting a lot more time into helping other people get their books written and getting them published. I'm at an age now to where I'm ready to kind of step back and not do quite so much work, but I love seeing up-and-coming people get successful, and I love helping them get successful. And since I've done so much of it, and I have published my own books, and I have had good publishers as well, I can kind of give people advice on which direction to go with their book and help them make it happen one way or the other, as well as speakers. There's a lot of the speakers in our group here in Las Vegas. I've recommended them to seminar companies that I've worked for, and they've been hired, and people trust me because they know if I say this trainer is a good trainer, then they are, because I'm really picky about who's good and who isn't.
Okay. Well, that's good, because that's good, because if you could endorse somebody, then obviously then that means something, versus if you're not endorsing.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like to help people get where they want to go. It's exciting for me to see other people become successful. You know, there's more than enough success in this world for all of us. And so, you know, if we can help each other, that's the best thing ever.
Oh, and I fully agree. And that's even what you're doing as a job. I mean, you're going into the casinos or you're going into the businesses so you can help them be a better company, which means they're providing a better service, which is good for the public as well. I mean, it's just...
Exactly. And we really talk about it in the environment that we're in and whatever company. We do a lot of work with franchises too, you know, but whatever company it is, or university or casino that we're working with, you know, we talk about how important it is to have that good attitude, to come to work and be happy and be pleasant and be charming to be around. And it puts more money in your pocket too. You know, people don't like to do business with sourpusses.
Right. And if you have, heaven forbid, you happen to be in the tip industry, you know, like you're a cocktail
exactly.
server.
Exactly. I had one server, she was so funny. She said to me, I was teaching them how to behave when they're waiters and waitresses, and how they could do upsells, and how if they upsell the meal and get a higher ticket, they get a higher tip. And I had explained all this to this girl, and she looked at me before she left the room, and she said, you know, I don't believe anything you said, and I don't believe it'll work. I said, well, that's up to you. And then the next week I was in the casino, and I happened to go in the restaurant to eat, and she came over and she said, I have to tell you something. And I said, what is that? And she said, Friday night, I decided to try the things you told us to try in class. Do you know what? I tripled my, what a surprise, huh?
And I'm, absolutely. Because if the customer feels appreciated, then of course they're going to be more genuine and more generous even.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Well, because I know we're coming close to the end now. Could you tell us about maybe some of your fears that you had when you were getting started, either going from the keynote to training or even start taking on those first corporate clients?
Oh, fears. I'm trying to think back if there were fears of, well, I guess the first company when that strike happened. 3 weeks after I opened my business, that was pretty scary. I was afraid we wouldn't be there another 6 months, but we lucked out. We had someone who sponsored and helped, so that was good. I would think one of the biggest lessons that I had to learn, though, was to charge more money. Even back when I had the finishing school and model agency, I always undercharged for things. And, I mean, it was ridiculous, some of the prices that I gave people, and that good deal. You know, they should have said to me, that's too cheap, but they didn't. They were like, oh, this is a good deal. We're going to go with this. And I think that's that was the biggest lesson I had to learn, is to charge what I'm worth.
Yeah. And again, I know men and women alike, and you mentioned women even more so, have a tendency to undercharge. Because yes. they don't feel that they have that value. I mean, sometimes people are even afraid to ask for money to begin with. It's like when you
exactly
say, but when you offer your first $50 gig or your first gig that you ask for $50.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I think fear-wise, I've always been a little afraid of what people think of me. That came from growing up in a household where there were lots of girls, and we were told that you had to be beautiful all the time, and so I was. Very involved in my appearance, and I was very afraid that people would think I wasn't very smart because I was so pretty at that time. And I wanted people to know I was smart. So I think I worked harder on else. And once I learned that I didn't have to prove how smart I was, I just had to prove the quality of the service that I gave to people and how I made them feel. If I could make other people feel important, because that's what makes it for you in business. When you make people feel important and feel like you want to do business with them and you care about them and that you're going to put every effort you've got into their business to make it the best that you possibly can, well, they're going to keep coming back.
Right, because they're going to know, like, and trust you. I mean, that's the whole end all of everything there.
It is. It really is.
And then what about, I guess, some of your early or even more recent challenges that you had overcome? I mean, I know you had the thing of the strike happening 3 weeks after you started business. Are there any, like, challenges that you're going through right now that as far like growing pains or doing things? Or even, I guess, we could even go back to when you were diagnosed or your business partner was diagnosed with cancer and you still had to move forward.
Well, that happened for both of us when she had came so afraid that she was going to drop out of the business when she was sick. You know, I didn't want her to die and I didn't want her to drop out of the business because she was the salesperson. You know, she was the personality out there in the front. And she used to laugh and say that when we would go to these big meetings, we were getting business, I would always leave because I used to say to her automatically, because she's so pretty and so nice and so charming that people just kind of went right to her. And that scared me a lot when I thought she wasn't going to be there. But then she came back and then I got sick and then it scared me a lot because I was afraid I wasn't going to be before. But I learned how to take care of myself, and I learned how to do that. We both did. We both learned how to take care of ourselves and still be successful. And that's themselves ragged and don't take time for themselves and their lives, and their families, and their all of those things. If I didn't balance my life, get more balanced.
Okay, and that's what you're doing now is achieving that balance now. As it sounds like you're looking to either. Retire or to at least scale down?
No, I'm not looking to retire. I'm just looking to do it differently. I had to change my life a little bit. My nephew has recently come to live with me, and he's physically and mentally challenged. And so he's come to live with me, and he's getting ready to go through a lot of surgeries and things. So I need to be home to be here with him to go through the tragedies that he has and the surgeries that are coming up and the recovery. And so I want to do something more from home so I can be here for him and still do what I love doing. And it's easy because I have my coaching clients, and I even have one 19-year-old young man that I'm working with right now, and absolutely adore him. He is headed for great things in this world. And so I can still do that as well as put my two cents in at the office on a regular basis, but I don't want to be on the road right now. That's not really retirement. It's just I don't want to be on the road right now. I want to be home in Las Vegas.
So this one trip to Ecuador is probably one of your only trips that you're going to be doing for a while?
This year, yeah. I'm doing a couple smaller things in I'm going to Austin, Texas next month for a few days and do a program with some people down there. I mean, I can go 2 or 3 days here and there, but to be on the road like I used to be, you know, 50 weeks out of the year, no, not anymore.
And that can be hard on your social life too. So
it can be, and your home life as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you? And I would suggest probably a website or a Facebook page or something like that.
They can get me at either the judymoreo.com, and it's judimoreo.com, or they can get me at Facebook, and it's still under Judy Morio, and Twitter, Judy Morio. I'm easy to find. I'm all over the net. And so if they just go to judymoreo.com, my blog is there. My free magazine is there. They can get I put out a beautiful magazine called Choices. It's a positive mental attitude magazine, and they can get that for free there at the website. And they can find out all about me at judymoreo.com.
Okay. And
They can write me judy@judymoreo.com. That's how easy it is to get me.
Okay, I'm on your page right now, and I see that you got your media, your shop, your blog, your speaking, your coaching, so they can hire you for any of that. Are you currently looking to take on any new clients as a coach?
I actually am. I only work with 10 people a year, and I still have about 3 openings this coming, for 2018. So yes, I'm still looking.
Okay. Well, fantastic. I mean, I'll check that out. And obviously the people that are listening or watching the show here has to have that access to you as well. Now, where do you see yourself in the next 12 to 24 months?
Next 12 to 24 months. Well, I have a book to get finished. I have an anthology to finish, and I have 4 more issues of the magazine to put out. Let's see. Trip to Ecuador, it's the same old, every day. But it's wonderful because it's all things I absolutely love to do.
Well, you're beaming your radiance, and you're awesome.
See, I actually finished my bucket list this year. I had 21 things on my bucket list, and I finished it this year. I did the hot air balloon safari over the Serengeti with the wildebeest migrating below. So that was the last thing on my bucket list. So I said I either have to kick off or I have to get a new list. And so I'm working on a new list right now to figure out now what will be the next 21 things I do before I die.
So is that going to be part of your 2018 vision board as well? Or
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Okay. Well, Judy, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. And maybe I'll see you at one of the National Speakers Association events because I'm looking to do more speaking engagements and hone my skills so I can be kind of like yourself where I can have my own training programs and online and offline. And maybe I'll see you this Saturday. So
thank you. I really have enjoyed the interview with you. You're a very good interviewer, and I really enjoyed my time with you, and I do look forward to seeing you on Saturday. I watched you last month. You were right in front of me.
Oh, was I?
You were sitting right in front of me, so I'll keep an eye on you. Make sure that the girls don't chase you too hard.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, Judy, any last words before we say goodbye to everybody?
Oh, I just want to say to everybody that the thing I learned when I had cancer was, and it sounds kind of like a cliche, was live every day as though it's your last. Enjoy every single day. Do some things you want to do every day and be around pleasant, happy people, because we never know when it is going to be our last day.
Yeah, and it can come at any moment. There could be a heart attack, car accident, or anything. So you never know.
It could be. So we've just got to live our lives like we want to live them, you know, to be happy.
Yes. Good words of advice. And thank you for sharing that with myself and the listeners.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, this was Judy Amorio on our show of Life's Little Lessons. If you want to reach out to find her, go online. Probably the best place to do is to go to her website at Judy, J-U-D-I, Morio, M-O-R-E-O.com. And her Facebook, LinkedIn, all of that stuff is on there. Obviously, you can find her on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I'm sure even LinkedIn, all the other social platforms. And again, Judy, thank you for being on our show today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Life's Little Lessons with your host, author of Designing Your Own Destiny, Kevin A. Dunlap. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit KevinADunlap.com, Facebook.com/KevinADunlap.author, and on Twitter @KevinADunlap. We'll catch you on the next episode of Life's Little Lessons.